You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor. Paul Gregory is the author of the new book, The Oswalds, An Untold Account of Marina and Lee Oswald. It is the summer of 1962. Paul's at home with his family and taking Russian conversation lessons from Marina Oswald, intending to pay Marina for her labor. They quickly establish a routine where Paul goes over perhaps twice a week, about 6:30 in the afternoon, after Lee Harvey Oswald has come home from his day labor. And then they sit and converse. One of the most vivid parts of the book to me, having read it in manuscript before, is when Paul comes into their modest room. There are very few conveniences. There's no fan. There's no air conditioning. This is a summer in Dallas-Fort Worth. And you see a Time magazine. Who's on the cover, Paul, and where did it come from?
Something of a mystery. On the cover was none other than President Kennedy. I think I've solved the mystery, and the solution was that Lee had asked his brother to send him Time magazine when he was in Minsk. So that edition of Time magazine would have arrived when Lee was in Minsk, which means that he would have had to include that magazine in his possessions that were being sent to the United States. So for some reason, he wanted that, or they wanted that edition of Time on their coffee table. It was the only book on their coffee table, and it never changed its position in the whole time I was with them. It did give me occasion to sound out Marina about Kennedy, whether she knew who the president was, et cetera, et cetera. And her response was, he's very handsome, seems like a very good father. And Lee was listening as we were discussing this and was shaking his head in agreement. So there was never any time when either Lee or Marina expressed any negative feelings towards Kennedy.
All right. It is the summer of 62, late June, early July, into August, and Paul's at home. And he's hearing in pieces the story of how the Oswalds got to this condition in Fort Worth. They are poor, very poor. Marina is alone. She's a very sympathetic figure at this point. She's 21 years old, rail thin. And what she has during the day for any diversion whatsoever, she has no friends, she cannot travel, is she goes across the street to Montgomery Ward. What does she do, Paul, with the baby? She's carrying June at the time.
This is an important part of the story. It might seem trivial to American listeners. But in Russia, it's very important to have what's called a koliaska, which is a baby carriage. There was no koliaska. Lee couldn't afford to buy a koliaska. So as you say, when she would wander down the street just for entertainment and go into Montgomery Ward's, which was a fountain of great wealth to Marina, when she would go anywhere, she had to carry June, who I guess was around 6 or 7 or 8 months at the time. And whenever we went shopping together or did anything, someone had to carry June. This was a sign of failure for Lee. And later, when they were offered by the Dallas Russians a free Kolyaska, this sent him into a rage. And he never forgave those Good Samaritans,
right,
who gifted them this Kolyaska.
Marina's window shopping. She has no money. Lee gives her, Oswald gives her $2 a week to get through the week, but she can't travel. Paul takes them on shopping expeditions sometimes in the evenings when he's over there for conversation, and they shop modestly for food for the week. Paul also gives them a tour of Fort Worth, of Dallas, the area, sometimes the country club, sometimes how ordinary people live, simple people live. But in all of this, Paul's picking up the story of how they came to be a couple. Paul, Minsk, Belarus. Marina is an orphan. Her father's dead, I believe. She lives with an aunt. And she's trained as a pharmacist, which isn't a high fancy degree. It's sort of like a clerk in an apteka, I believe, my memory of an apotheker.
Apteka.
Yeah. But you learn that she came to America for a better life. And so therefore, window shopping at Montgomery Ward was a dream for her. However, Paul, I learned that Lee Harvey Oswald resented everything about him. And we need to concentrate on him because Marina is so sympathetic. Did you register? You're a young man. You're a tennis star. You're in college. You have the world in front of you. You have an automobile. Did you register that something was odd about Lee Harvey Oswald? He's a Marine veteran. He says that he went to the same high school, Arlington High School, you did. And did you figure out how it is that he came to spend 3 years in Minsk and has all these odd, strange, hostile opinions of the world?
It was very difficult to get anything out of Lee. Lee did not talk about himself. The thing he wanted least to talk about was why he deserted to the Soviet Union. In his FBI interviews in Fort Worth, where you can read the transcripts of these interviews, the one question where he would really dig in his heels and refuse to answer was, why did you go? To tell the truth, I still don't quite understand why he was so resistant to answering this question. And as we will see as the story proceeds, this seemed to be something he did not want discussed in front of Marina. I think it was another sign of failure. The image he wanted to present to the outside world and primarily to Marina was an intellectual, socialist, deep thinker, author who had written material such as his historic diary that would have great demand in the marketplace. So he was going to be an author earning a good living and so on. So he did when Lee did not want to answer a question, he would simply clam up or steer the conversation elsewhere.
Paul establishes there are facts here. He never graduated from high school. His grammar was non-existent. Most of what he was doing was being a poseur. He alienated his Marine comrades, brought a pistol into the barracks and was punished for it, got into fist fights, is often violent, is routinely violent towards Marina. We need to follow that train here because meet the Dallas Russians. In a story of great tragedy, the Dallas Russians are the lightest moment, and it's very easy to like them. This is a community of about 50 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. All at one point Russian speakers. Some are Poles, some are Balts, from the Baltic states. Paul's dad, Pete, is a natural Russian speaker. Another one is George Buhi, who is a senior figure, something like Colonel Blimp of the famous English novels. He takes charge of the Dallas Russians, and in August of 1962, they all gather at the Gregory's for dinner. This is a very important telling scene. Paul can't be a better writer of theater pieces than to describe this scene. He tells me he remembers how they were seated at the table. The part that I like, Paul, is Mrs. Miller. She zeroes in on Lee Harvey Oswald expressing himself about life in the Soviet Union. And I paraphrase her, say, "You're crazy. It's a terrible place." What did he make of being confronted by the facts, by the Dallas Russians at that dinner table?
Lee was seated to my left, and the Dallas Russians were opposite him. Anna Miller posed to Lee the question that he refused to answer even to the FBI, which is, why did you do it? Why did you do this crazy thing? This is a land of milk and honey, and you deserted it, et cetera. Lee went into something of a controlled rage, if there is such a thing, at that point. And his voice was raised. He was leaning back in the chair, sort of as a sign of great discomfort. And it almost came down to an outright verbal fisticuffs between him and Anna Miller, who came, by the way, from Ukraine and saw the famine and saw the worst of everything. At that point, George Bucha, who was the leader of the Dallas Russian gang, decided we better end this evening before things get more tense. And so they decided it was time to leave. George Bucha volunteered to drive them home. Then there's great significance to this, because driving them home meant that he knew their address. And I could just see Lee saying to himself, now they know where we live. The end of isolating Marina is near. So this was a very, very significant moment in the story.
The Dallas Russians take up Marina as a charge to help her, to be generous towards her, to give her gifts, such as the pram. All of that, at the same time, they're learning that Lee Harvey Oswald is a wife abuser, and Marina is kept as a prisoner. Marina, however, is not able to free herself, and during those next months when Paul's back at school, the Dallas Russians do what they can and are frustrated by Lee Harvey Oswald. We need to turn to events that are in 1963. However, I mentioned that all of this now in retrospect looks obvious, that you're looking at a man in a rage with delusions and a poor education who has an adolescent sense of the world. That was not obvious in 1962 or 63. Paul Gregory is the book. The Oswalds is the story, the untold story to my knowledge, of Lee Harvey Oswald and his motivations, such as you can name them, for the murder and change of a president and the changing of American and Russian history. This is John Batchelor, CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.